right? All right, I'm gonna start off with Kathy. And what I'm going to ask is, like, Kathy, what is going on this Wednesday? What are you starting? Where do you meet? When do you meet? And why are you doing it? Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. All right. Good deal.
Okay, we're going to meet this Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday night for the next 6 weeks in room 106. We're going to study the book of Esther. What a cool book that is. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. We never know. Maybe you were born for a time that we're going on right now. Esther was, back in those days, she was born for that time. Insignificant, ordinary Esther was brought up to save the Jews. And it's such a cool story. So if you want to join us for a special Bible time this Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30, it's for men and women, whoever wants to come, you're welcome. So bring your Bibles.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Jeff, the same question. What's going on this Wednesday and that's going on for the next couple of, like, for a while? Right, and where are you meeting, and what time?
So we are going with a group that's going to use the power of prayer, and that's what we've titled it, the power of prayer. Who believes in the power of prayer? Raise your hands. Okay, we are going to have not only maybe a short devotion or scripture, but we're going to spend time talking with that Lord that loves us so much. Sometimes we need to listen to that and also listen to what the power of prayer do. We'll have a basis of being able to understand what prayer is about. It's not going to be so much a lesson as much as just letting God work in our time in that hour. We're going to be meeting over here. There's a former room that we used to call the Journey Room, and it became a storage room for a while. And now it's been converted to a Bible prayer room. So we're going to use that room. It's right over here on this side of the hall in the kids' zone on Wednesday at 6:30. Going to do the same thing. Mary Bishop and I are kind of working together. We have prayed, if you want to know, for a number of months. And then pre-COVID, we were doing it every week. During COVID, Mary and I met a lot of times, not 100%, but a lot of times on FaceTime. And we would pray for each one of you. We would pray for the church. We would pray for our leaders and for the board. And another indication, too, about these Wednesday night groups, we are the board that's doing this. I'm on the board. Kathy's on the board. Gloria's helping. She's on the board. Of course, Ben's helping us. But basically, this is now God wanting us to take the steps and take the things to do. And power of prayer is what we need for this, people. Power of prayer is what we need. We need to believe for it. That very song says a lot. How he can break the unbreakable. How he can move the unmovable. How he can do anything that's impossible through power of prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. I don't have to preach now. So, mine, this Wednesday at 6:30, we're meeting right outside this hallway. There's a classroom right there. There's a bunch of windows. We're doing what I'm called as the next step. I think a lot of us get to a point in our walk with faith, and we're like, what is the next step? We're going to be talking about what that looks like to take the next step in my faith and where God is going to use me and how God can use me. Yes, you, right? And we're gonna talk about questions that maybe we have that we're too afraid to talk about, too. It's an opportunity for us to dive into Scripture, to discover what our faith is, and learn, where does God want to use me, right? We meet at 6:30, right in there. Come. I might have food. I might not. I don't know, right? If I'm hungry that night, we'll have food. I'll share. I'll get enough to share. All right? Hopefully. Depends on how many show up. So be there. All right? These are awesome things that are going on. I'm excited to be a part of this church. I hope you feel the same way. I'm excited about where God is leading us. Right? Prayer does work. Be praying for me that my wife doesn't hurt me. All right? She's already threatened me a couple times when I went down there. I joke. I love her very much. Her chili is amazing. I will be voting for hers 5 times. All right? So Had to get that out there. The sermon today is called Slowing Down, if we can get it up. Slow down. I need to take the advice today. I feel really anxious to get up here, to be honest. I don't know if you saw. Tim told me this morning, hey, we're going to have an offertorial song, and I darted up here. And I thought, all right, it's my turn. All right. Nope. I need to slow down. I think we live in a time period where it has offered us an opportunity to slow down. But the problem with that is we filled it up with other stuff that is not what God had intended. Listen to me. I don't say this flippantly. I think there are some gifts. God uses bad things, and the pandemic was a bad time, right? But I think God can use this, too. I think families and people were forced to slow down, right? I think it gave them an opportunity to see what really matters in this world. And before it, I don't know if you remember, but as a parent, too, I felt like I was going, and we just filled up our calendar and our time, and we'd get home, we'd have what would look like a dinner. Not again, that's me and Michelle shared that, just to let you know, right? We would be exhausted. And we'd get home, everybody would go off to their own little corner to recoup, right? And our slowdown time was very minimal. And it's the world in which we live in, and now we don't, but as we open back up, as things, I preach this to help us understand that we got some gifts out of this horrible thing, all right, and to take notice of it, right? And we can look in Genesis. Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because of it, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Remember, okay, let's stop there real quick. Let's go back to right there. He rested from all his work. Now, he wasn't tired. God wasn't tired, right? This is more of a rest where he stepped back and looked what he did and created and was in delight. Anybody ever create something and you're like, that's really good? Anybody? You have those moments, you created something, I put up a shelf. Yeah, that looked good. Nothing's falling off that shelf today. I don't know if that's my thing that I step back. When you do those things, when you've been working and you've been established something, and it's fun to kind of step back and go, that's working. That's so awesome. And it's amazing, right? Those accomplishments are real. And God was having this moment, like he wasn't prideful in this moment. It is just like he was taking in what he just created. And he blessed a day. Think about that. He blessed three things in this moment. He blessed his creation. He blessed us. And then he blessed a day and made that day holy. You hear that? He set this day apart early on in Genesis for a reason. For us to step back with God and take delight in what he's created and been a part of, right? Now, he did it so much that he said, this is going to be a commandment. Told Moses, hey, we need to have a commandment that makes people understand they need to slow down and acknowledge my creation. Acknowledge what I've been doing in their life. Again, this is not a prideful thing. This is something in which when we take part in that, it does us a benefit. It fills us up. It makes us see what God has been doing and recognize who God is and how much he loves us. He says this, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall labor and do all the work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, neither your son or daughter, neither your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreign residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. All right. This is a commandment. And if you look at the commandments, some of them are like just one sentence. There's actually two that are like little paragraphs. This is a day, and it got a paragraph in the Bible as a commandment. Is it important? Yes. Yes, it's extremely important, right? To take a day, 24 hours, to find rest in God, to slow down, to recognize what he's doing, to acknowledge him, to celebrate him, right? In that, and if we don't, this is usually the result of what happens to us. We get burned out. And let me tell you some of the things in which that involve a spiritual burnout, all right? I'll say these really slow so you can maybe connect here. This might be you dealing with things that you didn't realize you're living a life that is fast-paced and unhealthy, all right? You're irritable more times than not. You're hypersensitive. You have a restlessness to you. You're a workaholic. You have emotional numbness, out-of-order priorities, lack of care for your body. You have escapist behaviors. You find yourself isolated more than anything. You lack spiritual disciplines. Do I need to reread these? I think at some point some of us might find ourselves with this. A good sign is this. You're driving along, and you come to a light, and you start counting the cars ahead of you. And you have two lanes, right? And you're like, oh, I need to get in the one that has only two, not 15. I got to get ahead. Right? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, I'm right there, right? Right? There's indicators in our life that show us, hey, I need to slow down. I need to take note. We live in a very fast-paced world. Do you understand that scientists have shown us that they've been able to measure our attention span? That's pretty cool. I don't know how you can measure attention span, but they have figured it out. What's even more depressing about that, though, is that our attention span is less than a goldfish now. It's hilarious, but it's true. Theirs is 8 seconds. Ours is 7 seconds. 7 seconds that we have an attention span. When I left school, and we did, I had a couple, you know, classes on learning how to speak and how to present. I had speech class. I had a sermon class. I had all those amazing classes that I still need to take. I know. Thank you. All right. They said you have about, at most, 5 minutes to actually grab their attention and get a message. And if you exceed 20 minutes, they've checked out and they're done. That was, how many years ago? I graduated in 01. Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was a long time ago. And I'm telling you right now, the attention span, it's dropped even more. Right? We live in a very fast pace. You just have to watch commercials and how long one scene stays on a commercial, right? They have clips really fast. Why? Because they want your attention. There's a new cartoon that the clip on the cartoon is 3 seconds. And it is like, it is something for kids that are like, I want to watch that. And they switch the scene every 3 seconds. And it's just training our kids to be in a hurry, to not take notice of anything, right? And God comes along and does the opposite. And he says, for a day, stop. In fact, if you want to know the Hebrew word of Sabbath is this, Shabbat. Shabbat. To stop, to delight. This is an awesome command. God loves you so much that he tells you to slow down, to relax, to not let this world seep in, but to allow God to find rest upon your heart. The problem with this, during its time, during Jesus' time, right, we find in New Testament, we find in Mark 2, 27 through 28, is this. They have decided, those who are leaders of the law, decided, okay, this is so important, right? The Sabbath is so important. It's a command. It got a long chapter of following it as a command in Exodus. Moses came down with a laundry list of what the Sabbath looks like, right? They decided to make tons of rules for the Sabbath to be holy. And on that, it was miserable. They had so many rules that it was like they couldn't rest. They had to count how many steps they would take for the day. Anybody do that besides your watch? Can you imagine being limited and going, okay, I made 99 steps, one more. Oh, man, I'm stuck right here. This isn't going to be restful. I have to lay right on the floor right here. That's the moment. They had to calculate what they did for the day. If they saw somebody that was injured or on the side and they needed help, and it was on the Sabbath, guess what they couldn't do? They couldn't help. They lost the whole heartbeat of what the Sabbath was about. They made it about rules and regulations, and they took something that was special and beat it to death. Now, this is what Jesus says. Then he said to them, let me tell you what's happening. Him and his disciples are on the Sabbath. They're walking. They're eating grain. They're actually picking grain, and they're eating it. And guess what? This is one of the rules. They were working. And so the Pharisee came up to him and said, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. You call yourself a righteous man. How can you be doing this on a Sabbath? Don't you know the commandments? And he looks at him, and then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Oh, that's power. That's an awesome statement right there. That's one of those ones you're like, if you're coming to attack Jesus in this moment, they're like, oh, I have nothing to say back to that. That makes sense. And it just puts all that regulation that the Pharisees and the people of the law and those who are righteous men and women in their place to understand, listen, God loved you so much and gave you the Sabbath to be a present, to be something that you guarded, something that you loved, something that was a treasure to have, that you looked forward to, not something that beat you down and regulated everything that you did. All right? So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. I think we need to come to a point where we recognize this in our own lives because we've gone the complete opposite way than the Pharisees, where we regulated everything at one time and tried to honor it, but just beat it to death, to now not even acknowledging it as a day that we need to step back. And we've ruined what rest looks like. I don't know about you, but I love binging certain great shows, right? If I find a great show and it's been recorded and I can watch it all again, I've been going through Knight Rider. I love Knight Rider. It's such a goofy show. But I remember watching Knight Rider as a kid and seeing the car talk to me, and I'm like, I want one, right? Right? Now we got Teslas, and they're kind of close to it, right? And I'm watching that, and I can sit down for hours and just watch and watch and watch. And then, night hits, and I'm like, where did my time go? I think we can do this with our phones. Anybody got TikTok? Anybody? Some of our people don't. That's fine. Yeah? I think you can get on TikTok. I had to get rid of the app. I got on that, and it was morning, and then bedtime hit. And I was like, where did the rest of the day go? Right? And I found myself just being sucked into stuff that wasn't giving me rest. It was just wasting my time. Because there's a difference between wasting time and rest. True rest comes from God. Have you ever decided to put your phone down for 24 hours? Not take a phone call. Not have to listen for that text. Not be starving for the next video that will be a viral hit. But slowing down and acknowledging and taking delight in what God is doing. Seeing that there's a world outside this stuff that we fill our time with. Acknowledging, hey, I've got a family. I love them, and I need to know them, and I need to be around them. One of the treasures I have with my family is almost every night we play board games. You know, and it's a lot of fun. But what's really more fun than me winning the board game is me spending time with my family and hearing what's going on in their lives. This isn't about social cues. This isn't about, I'm not hating on smart devices. This is me coming to an understanding of what rest looks like and why I can find myself in this laundry list of unhealthiness. Right? I've noticed the times that I don't have God that week, that I don't slow down, that I become irritable. And that the people that I deal with, that I want to hurt. No, I'm not really going to hurt anybody. But I will tell you, my patience level goes way down. That I decide there are many times that I just want to isolate myself. I am borderline introvert. I have tendencies to be extrovert, but I will tell you, there are many times, man, I just want to stay home and not be with anybody. And my wife's the one, hey, I made plans. What? No. And then I get there and I have a great time. But I will tell you, the times that I haven't been spending alone and stopping and resting in God, it's a struggle. It's a huge struggle. I know with the whole world that we live in, like we have coworkers, we have employees, we have people that we come in contact with on a regular basis, and if we don't stop and slow down, we will miss opportunities to love on them. And the problem, too, with that is God will show you, I honestly believe it, God will show you when you do slow down that you missed it. And it will hurt, and it will be frustrating, and it will be those moments you're like, God, and you get angry. Jesus says this in Matthew, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. This is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anybody else telling you this as a message? If you give people your time, things that don't matter, like your phone, like TV, like that stuff, they will gladly take it and give you nothing in return. And I will tell you, after years of sitting in that, you will feel empty. You will. Nobody wants to look back at their life and go, "What? I didn't accomplish anything. I made an indent in the couch." Right? That is not what that's not something that you want to be proud in. Trust me. God gave us this commandment of the Sabbath to slow down, to stop, to take delight in what God is doing in our lives. Right? I think we live in a world where our bodies, our minds are ahead of our souls. That we're sprinting so much, that we're trying to get the next best thing, that we're trying to get ahead in this world, that we are taught from an early age that we need to get more. Right? And Scripture says, hey, slow down. I'm enough. I provide everything you need. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know what he wants? He just wants you to know that he loves you and that he has a plan for you. And guess what that plan is? No matter what that plan is to glorify God and to love people. That's an awesome plan. Right? Man, we live in a world right now that a lot of people don't know this. We have a war going on. And it's not based in that, it's based in wanting more. And if you watch this war, we're going to see on our screens, we're going to see real moments that are devastating. And we're going to ask why. And as holy people of God, our charge is this. First, we are to pray. We are to figure out a way to love this from both sides of this horrible conflict. I charge our church to pray for Putin. He needs God like anybody else. Man, I hope God comes in and changes his heart today. Right? But I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm not filled up, if I'm not ready for God to move in my life, and I'm not sitting this day for rest, guess what? I am angry about this. I'm able to sit back because I have taken 24 hours of just me and God, right? And in that, guess what? God shows me, hey, my goodness will shine through this. I will be what comes out of this to glorify me in all things. God is working. And I can find hope in that. We live in a world that, you know, we're coming out of COVID, right? I think, right? That we're getting to that stage where like, okay, I can take a breath and nobody's going to hurt me, right? And we're getting to that point. But my hope is that we haven't had our hope based on getting out of COVID as finding joy. I hope that we have found our joy in knowing that God was through all this with us. And that he may have slowed down some people to understand, hey, I'm real. Your soul needs to catch up to your body, right? That's the question for today. To ask yourself this question. Have you left your soul behind? Do you feel like your heart is just empty, void? That you're always in a rush and that you get home and you feel like nothing's accomplished? Do you feel like tomorrow, you know, if I only had 10 more hours in a day, would that solve my problems? And I'm going to tell you right now, no, because you would just fill it up with other stuff. The reality is this. We have to take a moment to slow down and be with God today. My hope is this. If today's that day for you, then honor it. Right? Honor it. Decide right now that, hey, God, this needs to be real. I want to know that these things have an explanation for why I'm this way, why I'm irritable, angry, isolationist, why I'm just hypersensitive, why I work all the time, why I'm filling up myself with stuff that doesn't really matter. Help me step back and notice you. Notice the creator of this world. Notice the one that sent his son to die for us. Notice the one that knows every hair on my head. Notice the one that loves me so much. Desires a relationship with every single one of you in here. Help me slow down to acknowledge that. To find myself in that. I'm telling you right now, the world wants your attention. And their message isn't a healthy one. God's message is, I love you so much that I sent my son to die for you no matter what. Amen. All right? And I've got a plan for you. And your plan, his plan, is better than anything else. And when we're not finding ourselves in that, we start to be empty. And we start to question everything. God gave us a commandment to hang out with him once a week. That's a great commandment. It's pretty cool. He loves us so much that he's like saying, I want your attention. And I know you're going to be working through the week. I understand that. And I developed you. I created you in my image. And I decided to take a step back and see what I've created. And I want you to step back with me and see what I've created through you. And how I'm going to use you through it. Do you need your soul to catch up to you this week? Take a day and spend it with God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray as we move forward in this week, I pray that your voice is abundant. That your yoke is easy, that your burden is light. Lord, we thank you for that message. We thank you that you love us so much that we find comfort in your presence. That you want us to slow down in a world that's so fast. Help us see the miracles that you're creating. Help us see this world that you love so much that you've called us to be a part of it and to love it. And to change it the way that you've called us to change it. Lord, if we're finding ourselves to be empty this morning, that we find comfort in the things that don't feed our souls, Lord, I pray that we take a moment this week. Lord, I pray that we take 15 minutes alone with you. I pray that we take 30 minutes, an hour, just being in your presence, listening for you, looking for you. I pray that we find rest this week in you. We do this all to glorify your name. Help us become the church that you've called us to be. Help us to become the person that you have designed us to be. We thank you that we follow a God that loves us so much, makes commandments to spend time with us. pray that's real for us this week. We give you all the glory. Amen. Stand with me, church. And I charge you with this thought to spend time with God, to rest, to slow down, to be in His presence. Go and be the church that God has called you to be.